Hi, welcome back to Law and Legitimacy. This is Norm Pattis. We're on episode 38, I think it is. So they begin to accumulate in prodigious numbers. Thanks always to the efforts of Mike Boyer of the Kraft Carolina Legal Group. Mike has given the technical support necessary for me to overcome my fear of all things electronic, except for the volume button on a stereo system. If you've noticed a slight hearing loss on my part, that could be a function of listening to rock and roll too loud for decades. I'm one of the few men alive whose children tell him to turn the radio down. It's too loud, Dad. You'll spoil your hearing. I want to talk today about New York Bar Grievance Authority's decision to summarily suspend the law license of Rudolph Giuliani, formerly America's mayor, most recently President Trump's lawyer, and now a man sitting on the outside looking in on the practice of law, notwithstanding his having been admitted apparently in 1969. What did Rudy do to so offend bar disciplinary officials in the state of New York that they would suspend his license without a hearing? And is such a thing constitutional? And does it pose a clear and present danger to advocates everywhere? Has PC culture gone mad? What is up in New York? That's what we're going to talk about today, so let's jump right in. The law is a regulated profession, and lawyers throughout the states and in the federal system must be licensed to practice. In order to get that license, you have to sit for a bar exam, and a bar exam tests general knowledge on the broad contours of the law and is intended to screen out the minimally competent from those not competent to advise perfect strangers on matters of legal consequences, or consequence, I should say. In addition, lawyers are required to demonstrate familiarity with ethical rules governing the practice of law, and they must possess a character, or at least in the eyes of bar regulators, be possessed of character sufficient to believe that they can carry out a lawyer's responsibility of attending to the affairs of others in a trustworthy manner. Once admitted to practice law, lawyers are subject to discipline from bar regulators, bar disciplinary officials, if they breach these rules. Members of the public are openly invited, and in some states it seems encouraged to file grievances against lawyers. And it is not uncommon for busy lawyers in controversial cases or practices to be the frequent recipient of grievances. The bottom line is people don't hire lawyers typically because they're unhappy. A significant percentage of those who are unhappy enough to hire a lawyer are probably unhappy having very little to do with the law. And when the law fails to satisfy them and make them into the vision of themselves they wish for, they turn their rage on a lawyer, and the lawyer then defends himself. This is particularly true of practitioners in the criminal law, but that is a different topic for a different day. What did Rudy do to run afoul of bar regulators? Donald Trump. Yes, that's right. Anyone associated with Donald Trump is now a marked man in the politically correct chambers and corridors of power. Apparently, every effort must be made to assure that the Donald cannot run for president again in 2024. Rudy, who was his lawyer and championed the cause of the so-called stolen election in 2020, is a target that must be neutralized. And so bar regulators in New York have done so on the thinnest of pretexts in a way that presents a clear and present danger to the First Amendment and is an insult to practicing members of the bar from coast to coast. But don't expect too much outrage on Rudy's behalf, because he has become a politically incorrect pariah because he sided with Donald Trump. In the matter of Rudolph W. Giuliani, pending in the Supreme Court of the State of New York Appellate Division, First Judicial Department, cancel culture has come home to roost, and it has decided to eliminate a man's ability to practice law. Wow. Now, a law license is not something that you are entitled to. You have to earn it. But once it's earned, it can't be taken from you without due process. In other words, the state cannot take your property interest in your license without some minimal notice and an opportunity to be heard. So New York grievance authorities informed Attorney Giuliani, or former Attorney Giuliani, that they were coming after his license and his lawyers without a hearing, and his lawyers had an opportunity to respond. And then the grievance authorities decided that he presented such a danger to the public at large that suspension of his license on an interim basis is warranted. Let's examine the reasoning here. Let's examine the law, and let's ask ourselves what's at stake for lawyers throughout the country and their clients in the years to come. Rudy was found to have violated three rules pending in New York State, three rules of professional conduct. Every state has an analog to these rules. They're modeled on model rules that all states consult in drafting their disciplinary rules. Count one was Rule 3.3 that asserts that a lawyer shall not knowingly make a false statement of fact or law to a tribunal. The second is Rule 4.1. In the course of representing a client, a lawyer shall not knowingly make a false statement of fact or law to a third person. And the third count is Rule 8.4. A lawyer or firm shall not engage in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation, or H, these are subsections, engage in any other conduct that adversely reflects on the lawyer's fitness as a lawyer. The evidence against Rudy in this instance, the court held, was uncontroverted, thus justifying an interim suspension. Of course, he can claim, Giuliani can, a hearing later. That's a so-called post-deprivation hearing. But what did he do? What did he do to justify this? Listen to the opinion. In general, we rely upon statements that respondent made following the 2020 election at press conferences, state legislative hearings, radio broadcasts as both a guest and host, podcasts, television appearances, and one court appearance. In other words, Rudy was speaking out on matters of public concern, raising claims that the election had been stolen, claims that have been disproven in court proceedings throughout the land, or for which at least there is insufficient evidentiary support to permit these claims to go forward, but which many Americans nonetheless believe. I'm not sure why that's the case. I think it has to do with a broader legitimacy crisis. We don't have a common conception of right. We feel that we have we don't have common interests. The country is fracturing into identity silos. You know, Black Lives Matter, but the deaths of despair of white middle-class people apparently don't. If you're on the right side of history, your life counts and you get recognition. If you're not, you're expected to fade away into the sunset, going quietly if possible. Donald Trump said no. Rudy Giuliani, on his behalf, said no way. They lost an election they thought they should have won, and they couldn't accept that loss, so they asserted that there was fraud in the campaigns. And it was and remains deeply divisive in the country, but the country was deeply divided in 2016 when Donald Trump was elected, which is why he was elected. The country was deeply divided in 2012 and has been for some time and will likely be in the foreseeable future. Are we going to penalize those who speak out about it? It's sometimes said that those who can't do teach, and in the law, those who can't even teach law and are unfit to practice it appear to repose or find work in bar disciplinary offices. And I say that recognizing that I perhaps may be disciplined for this speech. But I mean, I look at the New York decision and its reliance on some of the case law. And if a kid in my office wrote this 1 or 2 years out of law school, I'd send it back for a rewrite. It has long been recognized that speech by an attorney is subject to greater regulation than speech by others, the disciplinary people write in reciting a case called Gentile, G-E-N-T-I-L-E, versus State Bar of Nevada, a 1991 Supreme Court case. You know, I litigated a case arising under Gentile versus State Bar of Nevada and have actually read the case and briefed it. I can't necessarily say the same for the authors of this decision. Gentile is not a case involving the general speech of a person speaking out on public concern. Gentile is a case that upheld the right of courts to discipline lawyers when their speech was going to have a substantial impact of materially prejudicing a finder of fact. In other words, it had to do with what lawyers say about pending cases in court when what they say could have an impact on jurors. There is no jury that Rudy Giuliani was appealing to in this case. And while a lawyer sacrifices his right to speak freely, to the extent that an ordinary citizen has it, that is limited and tethered to his speech, the speech's tendency to undermine the core functions of the court. Speaking out on matters of public concern has always been protected speech in this country, and for New York bar regulators to suggest otherwise is an outrage. What's more, this bar disciplinary proceeding is altogether unnecessary. Lawyers do have a duty of candor toward the tribunal. In other words, we cannot knowingly make false statements of law or fact to a tribunal. But here's the fact of the matter in a litigation context. I bring my clients' cases to court, and I assert their theories of the case on the legal claims I bring. When I consider the duty of candor toward tribunal, what I don't do is make up case names and say, Judge, according to Joe Blow versus Baloney, I get to do whatever I like whenever I want to do it. I mean, that would be a candor violation. Similarly, I can't misstate the holding or conclusion of a court and say, well, Judge, Roe v. Wade says a woman can do whatever she likes, whenever she likes, whenever she wants to do it. That's the clear holding of the case. No, it's not. It's a limited holding. Did Rudy Giuliani do this when he advanced claims of fraud? The case, the decision recites inconsistent statements and theories Rudy made in a court appearance, but they aren't candor violations. They're sloppy advocacy. They're changing legal theories. They're arguing in the alternative. Lawyers do these things, and they do these things at their peril, and if they do a particularly egregious or job of it, or they willfully violate the rules, the court before whom they appear has the power to sanction them. An adversary can demand, for example, that a frivolous pleading be withdrawn under Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, and that rule says that you've got 21 days to correct or cure a pleading that is, you know, deficient on its face. And if you don't do so, you can face sanctions. Similarly, a judge can refer someone for disciplinary proceedings, or the judge can issue sanctions himself, sua sponte, that is, of his own initiative or her own initiative, if the misconduct takes place before the court. There is no reason for an independent proceeding months after the fact to penalize Giuliani for isolated sloppy advocacy in a court. On the reasoning of this bar disciplinary proceeding, Sidney Powell should also be disbarred. So potentially should every litigant who brings a claim that results in a loss. And we end up now with the so-called paradox of perjury. It is not uncommon for me to receive a call from someone saying they want to bring an action against somebody for perjury. And I say, well, what'd they say? They testified against me in court and I won. Therefore, they must have committed perjury. No, that's not necessarily the case. All that it means is that the jury didn't agree or the judge didn't agree with that person and concluded they got it wrong. Doesn't mean they lied. It just means that the jury disagreed with them. If we are going to prefer charges against every losing litigant and or his or her lawyer, then the litigation will never end because litigation is a zero-sum game. One side wins, the other side loses. And if the losers are always subject to legal proceedings, further legal proceedings, we'll never end the litigation involving even the simplest case. So the Rule 3.3 or the candor violation about candor toward the tribunal is an overstatement here and unnecessary. But even if it were justified, the 4.1 violation, that is, that Giuliani knowingly made a false statement of fact to a third person, that is shocking. And the manner in which this conclusion was reached here is breathtaking. And I'm choosing my words lightly. I'm trying to avoid dropping F-bombs and gratuitous statements of profane outrage. But in the decision, the court notes that at one hearing that Giuliani spoke at, in court, there were thousands of Zoom participants in the, watching, many of them press. And therefore, Judy's statements, while false in court, were made to those persons as well. I mean, BS, that's just stupid. Who gets paid to reason like this? The fact of the matter is, the public has a First Amendment right to attend judicial proceedings, and when I'm speaking in court, the public is hearing what I'm saying, if they're listening, but I'm not speaking to them. I'm part of a judicial proceeding. I mean, that is simply a ridiculous claim. Now, if Mr. Giuliani made statements out of court, and we talked about some of the fora earlier in which he would have made those statements, press conferences, state legislative hearings, radio broadcasts, I'm turning the page here, podcasts, television appearances, those are all privileged. And the only limit that exists is the limit that Gentile versus Nevada recognized, and that is when a lawyer's statement has a substantial likelihood of materially prejudicing a finder of fact. That is a jury. You know, I can't, while a jury is out, go outside the courtroom and say, my client is innocent and I've got the evidence to prove it, but this judge won't let me put it on. I'm appealing to jurors to act on the evidence I can't present. That'll get me disbarred every time because that statement is likely to materially prejudice a finder of fact. But if I say of a case outside the presence of a juror and when there is no juror imminently likely to hear a case, this case is an outrage and the government should never have brought it, or in the Giuliani case, my client believes the election was stolen and so do I and here's why, that's privileged communication. That's protected by the First Amendment. And while lawyers as officers of the court sacrifice complete and robust freedom of speech, they do so only when that speech is tethered to a pending judicial proceeding. And so New York's bar disciplinary people and the appellate court that issued this decision have stepped so far outside the ambit of the First Amendment and what it protects that I'm certain this case will be reversed, if not by the highest court in New York State, then by the United States Supreme Court. And then let's talk about an even worse outrage in this, and it does get worse, and that's the so-called 8.4 violation. Did Rudy engage in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation, or in any other conduct that adversely reflects on a lawyer's fitness as a lawyer? Who in the world are these disciplinary people to determine whether Mr. Giuliani's conduct reflects adversely on his fitness as a lawyer? You know, I believe it was Thomas Hobbes that once said, the value of a man is his price. In other words, the marketplace will determine in the exchange of the items for goods and services whether someone believes they're fit to provide the service rendered. I might not hire Rudy Giuliani. I mean, I remember seeing him in a video conference with some brown stuff dripping down his face. I presume it was hair dye. And he was on stage with Sidney Powell. And the two of them sounded like they were reading lines from a Looney Tune cartoon. But I had enough respect for them as officers of the court to conclude that if they had evidence, someday soon they'd show it. Did I lose respect for them by not showing it? Absolutely. I'm sorry now that I came out saying, you know, Sidney Powell's done good work. Let's see what she has to say. She's shown nothing. And now both she, Rudy, and others have been sued for billions of dollars by firms whose integrity they had questioned in their out-of-court statements. That's the right of those firms to bring those actions. But because bar disciplinary figures, officials disagree with the speech of someone or believes that the positions they've taken reflect poorly on a lawyer's fitness to practice law, they're going to engage in cancel culture tactics to take that lawyer out of the market? Absolutely wrong. You know, 8.4 in the American Bar, 8.4 reflects a model rule, and the American Bar Association has called on states to enact new and aggressive rules involving attorney speech, including speech that might, you know, make somebody uncomfortable because they perceive it as discriminatory. Pennsylvania took the bait and adopted such a rule, and that rule has already been declared unconstitutional as violating the First Amendment by a federal judge in Pennsylvania. Connecticut judges are considering this rule, and I understand they deferred a vote on it just the other day. I was kind of disappointed that they did. We've got the writ drafted and we're ready to run to federal court and give them a spanking. The fact of the matter is, lawyers have a right to speak. And if they engage in fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, or conduct reflecting adversely on their fitness as lawyers, those who are victimized by those acts can bring a civil action against them. If I defame you, sue me. If I don't hire you on the basis of race, gender, or some protected class, bring an action against me. But if I say Black Lives Matter looks like a terrorist organization, or if I wonder why Derek Chauvin, who had the book thrown at him, and people who burned cities in the summer of 2020 are still dancing in the streets, don't say I'm unfit to practice law. Those are my opinions, which I place into the marketplace for your consideration. You can reject them and me, and you can choose not to hire me. That's fine. I don't need everybody to like me. I don't need everybody to hire me. But my clients need for me to be able to fight on their behalf without worrying that if I offend some blue-nosed nitwit, my bar ticket's going to be pulled. So I am in Rudy Giuliani's corner on this one, and I'm rooting for Barry Kamens and John Leventhal, his lawyers in New York. I'm urging people to support Rudy Giuliani. I'm urging his legal team to bring this action forward into a higher court. And if it takes the United States Supreme Court to smack some sense in the New York bar regulators, so be it. Thank you for listening to Law and Legitimate. The First Amendment is burning. The politically correct are pouring gasoline on it, and they're coming for you next. Let's fight back while there's still time.